just for the blessing and the opportunity that you guys gave our family for to have a vacation over the last couple of weeks. And I will tell you that it was less of a vacation and more of a time to really re-engage with the Father and to hear His voice and to be resettled in some things. I'm really looking forward to having some time to speak next week and to be able to talk about a lot of things that God has been putting on my heart. But for this morning, I have been given the privilege to be able to introduce Brother Tony Molden, who is with Change of Life Missions. And how many of you all were in his Bible class this morning and you heard kind of the overview? Okay. Now, I want you to be honest with me, all right? If you didn't sense this in your heart, don't raise your hand. But when you're listening to Tony Molden talk, and you hear the work that's happening over there in Kenya, and you see the Holy Spirit and everything that he's doing, and everything that's being done through him, and all those kids, and all those lives that's being changed, does that stir something up in you? If it does, I want you to raise your hand. Okay. That stirring, I'm going to ask you to hold on to that. Because this week, we're learning about what God's doing in Kenya. And next week, I want us to be inspired by what's happening in Kenya so that we can take that fire and do something big here in Eastside at Snyder. Amen? Amen. So, Tony, I'm going to ask you if you would to come on up. We're going to pray over him. And I was thinking about this scripture. And I'm going to pray this scripture over you, brother. It says from Romans chapter 10, verse 14. It says, "But how can they call on him whom they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? Amen. And how can they preach unless they are sent?
Amen.
And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the gospel of good things."
Amen.
I want to ask you as a family, let's pray over him as he gets ready to speak to us. And let's agree with the Father with these words. Lord God in heaven, I thank you. Your awesome presence is magnificent. And I thank you that we get to be here. And even though we're in these fleshly bodies, Lord, that if you were to reveal yourself and all of your holiness and presence, we would just evaporate in the presence of your fiery glory. But God, you have placed your Holy Spirit in containers to show your glory upon this earth. And so, Father, I pray for Brother Tony. I thank you that this man said yes to you. And because he said yes to you, that you have worked in his life over this more than a decade to change the lives of thousands, tens of thousands, more than likely hundreds of thousands, and people that he will never even see on this side of heaven. Father, how beautiful are the feet who bring good tidings of good things. I pray that you will not only bless the feet of Tony, but you will bless his health and his heart. Bless his mind and his emotions. Bless his family and his friends. Bless his ministry, and may you give him favor in all that he does, Father. Because this is one, Father, who has taken the talents that you have given him, and he has multiplied them for your kingdom and your glory. May we do the same. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.
Amen. You turn my mic on there.
I think you're on.
Okay, am I on? All right. Wow, thank you, Brother Tim. For those of you that don't know me, as Tim has said, Tony Molden, I used to live here, was part of this. This is like coming back home. It really is. I didn't get to bring Janice. She sends her greetings, and I think she'll probably be watching, so hi, dear. Many of you ask about her. She had some health issues. She had fallen back in October and fractured her pelvis, but she got help with that, been to the hospital, the rehab and all. She's walking on her own now. She sends her greetings, doing well. She's off of physical therapy and all. For Ben and Issy back in Kenya and anybody else back in Kenya, I said this in the class, but let me greet them again in Swahili, everybody, Asubuhi, which is good morning. I know it's afternoon or evening there, and I miss you, Nakomith, and I love you, Nakopenda. Someone said, I think it was Flo, said something about the little kids hugging on my legs. I do miss that. That's one thing I'll miss. Normally this time of year, I'm back in Kenya. You know, most of you know that. This time, I'm not going to be going back to March. I'll miss being there. They're writing me about the start of school and everything, and I miss being there. The new babies that come on Tuesday in Mathari. It's so good. And the funny thing is to watch the five-year-olds that were babies last year come in, they laugh about the little four-year-olds crying and lost in like deer in headlights, and they laugh, and we go, you were there last year. That was you. But, you know, as you grow up, you forget that. Tim, I appreciate your prayer. I actually had that as a closing scripture in my lesson today. But, you know, if you have your Bibles, turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. I like what Tim said. We are the containers. God has put us here. Many times someone said to me about the work in Kenya, why doesn't the government do something? Why don't they take over? And like most things the government does, it doesn't turn out so well, right? And so God has given us to do it, to take care of the poor, to take care of those that need help, to educate, to love, and to give them the good news about Jesus. It says there that, I'm just going to read this to you. So we are Christ. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. That's the New Living Testament version of it. But we are Christ ambassadors. Now, first time this happened to me, probably like some of you are going to do today, I thought it was kind of cheesy and, you know, just preach, don't bother me. And the preacher asked us, you know, to do this. So I'm going to ask you, turn to your neighbor on either side if you've got one and tell them, I'm happy you're here. Can you do that? I know some of you are thinking, oh, I don't want to. Just tell them, I'm happy you're here. Thank you for doing that. Do you realize it's on us? God put you here, and you have an ability and a gift that no one else has. I know you may not think about that. You may think, oh, you know, I give my money, and that is a gift too. Paul said that, did he not? He said, if your gift is given, give generously. If it's teaching, teach. If it's prophesying, you know, don't be slacking in prophesying. If it is helping those who are sick and helping those in need, do that cheerfully. Key word. I knew someone that did that, but it was like they were grumpy. You know, they were like, oh, man, man. No, do it cheerfully. Be happy God's giving you that gift. So what does it mean? Ephesians 2:10, depending on the version you read, Paul is saying, and it follows up, you know, right where he's talking, we're saved by grace. And we are, no doubt about it, through God's mercy. But he says here, interesting, for you, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, get this part, to do good works, which he planned for you in advance. Think about that. God planned for you to do something. Well, you know, No, you're special. You are made in the likeness of God, and you can do something nobody else can. You can reach people in a way nobody else can. Just this week, I was talking to someone, and we're talking about some health issues, some emotional and mental issues, and they were talking about the good thing, I can talk to somebody that's been going through this because I've been through it. Amen? You can help somebody that nobody else can help. Okay, what does that mean to me? Turn in, if you would, to Acts chapter 10. God goes great lengths to make sure we believe, and if we're searching, and you got to listen sometimes, but he's going to put you where he wants you. In Caesarea, this man called Cornelius, not your typical person you wouldn't think. He's over an Italian regiment, all right? He's a soldier. He's over soldiers. But he loves the God that we know. He loves God, and not only that, but he has all the people in his house fearing God and loving them, and he prays daily. And not only does he that, but he puts his money where his mouth is. He gives to the poor. But he doesn't know the good news about Jesus. So what does God do? God comes to him in a vision. And the angel speaks to him and says, Cornelius? And some people say, I want to speak to an angel. I don't think you do. Most everybody in the Bible that spoke to angels were scared, right? It's a fearful thing. And Cornelius is not different. He's afraid. He said, don't be afraid. the prayers you have made and the gifts to the poor have come up as an offering to God. So what is God going to do? He's going to make a way. He said, I want you to send someone to Joppa. There's a man called Peter, Simon Peter. And he's at a man of Simon the Tanner. It's on the sea. Send some people there and tell him to come see you. Well, that's one thing, but now God's got to prepare Peter. Why? Because Peter, like many of us, he's set in his ways. He'd been raised a good Jewish boy. You don't have anything to do with Gentiles. In fact, do you know that if Gentiles were in your house, you were supposed to destroy the sheets or anything they touched because that was unclean, right? So Peter's there. He gets hungry. It's about noon. He goes up on top of the house, and he has a vision. You know the vision. There's a sheet. It's let down, four corners, all kinds of unclean animals. And God, the angel, tells him, get up and eat, Peter. And Peter said, no, Lord, I've never eaten anything unclean. And God tells him, Peter, don't call unclean what I'm calling clean. Sometimes we, myself included, tell God no, right? God says, Tony, I want you to do it. You go, no. God, you know, I don't want to do that. I had a friend of mine tell me, it was a hard thing for me to realize I'm a modern-day Pharisee. I thought, what do you mean? He goes, I was comfortable. I liked my life the way it was. Do you know that's the way the religious people were at the time of Jesus? The Jewish people, they didn't want things to be upset. They liked things the way they were. They were comfortable. God doesn't always let us be comfortable. So he tells Peter this, but Peter doesn't get it. Kind of like Tony. So what does he do? He has to tell him three times. Three times. Finally, Peter's starting to get a little bit. Then God tells him, the Spirit tells him, you need to go to the gate. There's some men there. Come. He goes down. These Gentile guys, Cornelius' servants and a soldier that attended to him, have come. That's a whole different story, Tim. You can preach sometime if you haven't about the job of those servants and the soldier that came and were given that task. So he invites them in, Gentiles. Not only that, but they spend the night. Okay, I wonder how Simon the Tanner, I don't know, assuming he was a Jew, how he felt about that, but okay. You know, it says a lot about the prejudices we have, right? And so the next day, Peter, keep in mind, God had prepared him. Don't call unclean what I've called clean. He goes, he travels with them back to Caesarea. They go to the house. And Cornelius, you know, because this is somebody God has sent to him, he falls down, wants to worship him. Peter says, get up. I'm just a man. I feel that way when people start bragging on me. I'm thinking, you don't understand. I'm just an ordinary guy. Coach, and I'm nothing special. That's the way Peter felt. Get up. And he says, you know, he tells him about it, and he says, okay, the angel told me to send for you. He goes inside, and Cornelius has done something we need to do. He's invited all of his friends and family. It's a large crowd inside. So Peter then realizes, I can't call unclean what God has made clean. Right? Amen? So he preaches the gospel. Now, before he's finished popping the question, the Holy Spirit comes on him. We find out later, and it's obvious if you read much, that the reason that happens is because these people wouldn't have accepted Gentiles being baptized. So Peter says, who am I? If God's given them the Holy Spirit, who am I to decline baptism? So he immerses them in the water. Okay, now, good story. But that's back thousands of years ago, right? Let me tell you a story. This is true. December the 2nd, I was supposed to go out to Mark and Jenna Hanners. They have a dealership. But he's an elder at Southern Hills, great heart for the Lord, sponsored so many kids. They don't particularly, but they've helped us and all. But they love the Lord. So he wants me to come out. He's got a small group of men coming out on Monday nights. And he wants me to present about the kids. And so I just got in the country, still had 30 kids at that time that needed sponsors. Says, can you come out? So Friday before, some of you got the little envelopes I sent. You sponsor a kid, right, with a little ornament in it. You know what I'm talking about? I had I don't know, 200 and something of those in a big box. I'm at the post office. And I'm at the waiting in line, and somebody asked me, what do you got there? It wasn't this lady. Found out later her name is Amber. She heard me, overheard me say Tony Malden and what the envelopes were for the kids, and we had this work in Kenya. She said, well, that's cool. She goes home. Interesting, later her husband told me, Shane is his name, he works for Mark and Jenna, said, my wife hadn't been to the post office in 2 years and only went that day because she's helping my dad pick up a large package. Okay? So just keep that in mind. Monday, I go out and I present my appeal about kids that need sponsors, talk about the work in Kenya. Monday night, Shane writes me around 10 o'clock at night, and he said, Coach, I want to sponsor a kid. He said, you got to know the rest of the story. He said, I have never been to one of these small group meetings that Mark does, Bible studies. He said, it's not my thing, believer and all, but small groups has not been my thing. 6 years I've never gone. He said, Sunday night, when I got the invitation, I looked at my watch, I thought I was going to decline, and I made a mistake and said, I'll be there. And he said, what do I do? And he turned to his wife. She said, well, just it'll be good for you. So they haven't had a conversation yet about me. And so he goes, hears me speak and everything. His heart's pricked, but he doesn't know. He goes home and says, how was it? It was good. This guy named Tony Malden, he was talking to work in Kenya. She said, wait, what did you say his name was? He told her again. He said, that's the guy who was at the post office. I heard him. I came home, looked up the work, and thought, that's cool. She said, no, you're going to sponsor a kid. That's from God. Little Joyce is sponsored because of this. But the rest of the story is, he had already looked through names, and he came across Joyce, one of the little girls, because that was his mother's name. And he said, I'll ask the family because I want them to be involved. So he asked the mom and his two children, who do you think we should sponsor? They all said Joyce. That's got to be for us. Isn't that amazing what God does? You say amen? So, you see, it's not just something removed in the Bible. It's every day right here. God is working. You just have to be observant. You have to allow Him. When He speaks, you got to listen. It may not be what you want. Don't be a modern-day Pharisee like I was doing the same thing. I had my life. I was comfortable. I was a coach. I was, you know. No, you've got to be open. It may not be moving, or it may, case of Ben. Right, Ben? But it may be, you know, I remember Max Lucado talking about, he graduated from college. He was going to be this great preacher. He was going to speak to 5,000. Somebody called him, a little lady called him, church said, come help me move a refrigerator. Maybe something simple like that. Maybe helping someone that needs help. Someone going and praying over someone. Someone helping with the needs that they have. How do you know? You just got to be open. God can speak through people. He can speak through circumstances. He can speak through the scripture, the Bible. He can speak through revelations. You just have to be open. Amen? I want to share with you a scripture, Ephesians 4:11, if you have your Bibles, if you want to look at that. I apologize, but I think if most of you have Bibles there. Do we finish it 30 minutes after? Okay. Ephesians 4:11, Paul is talking here. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So he gave different things to equip the church. He's put you here for a reason. If you're not doing it, it's because you're not listening. Listen, God will tell you. He will use your talents. In Romans 12, Paul says something similar. Verse 6, he says, Romans 12, verse 6, if you have your Bibles. In His grace, God has given different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with much faith, as God has given you. If He's given you the gift of serving, then serve others well. If you're a teacher, then teach well. If you're given the gift of encouraging, be an encourager. If it's a gift of generosity, then give generously. If it's leadership, be a good leader. And do it with hospitality and responsibility. And if you are given the responsibility of kindness, do it gladly, helping others. We all have different gifts, but it's up to you to decide when God's asking you what to do. I know we've got, this is Mission Month, you got the contribution coming up, and I ask you, think about how many people you're helping. As Tim said, I don't know how many we've touched. I know that just recently, if you were not in the class, we had 8 of our youth to accept God. What we do, we want to make sure they understand the message and God's plan of redemption. We go through a redemption study with them. And Ben and I sat in a class together, and I'm telling Ben, you got to get to doing what I'm doing. I will, Coach. I will, right, Ben? You're going to get there. I've told Issy the same thing. She goes, that's not my gift. I go, it can be, you know, because you can reach these young girls. But when God speaks, you got to listen. These young men and young ladies, there was 8 of them, sat in a class, and we give them a Bible, and we go through God's plan of redemption, starting in Genesis 3 about, you know, God makes a plan when man sins to buy them back. Most of you, or let me rephrase, a lot of you remember the days of the S&H green stamps, right? Remember those? We'd redeem them. I was so excited as a kid because we'd fill out that book, and we had our mind set on a bicycle or something big. We normally didn't get that. There were toys and stuff, wasn't very much. But for us, it was a big thing to go redeem those stamps. In Kenya still, you can redeem a chupa, a bottle, a Coke bottle. If they're glass bottles, you can take them in, redeem them, get money for them, or get that and get a new one, okay? God's plan of redemption was to buy back mankind. As Galen talked in his table talk, how did God do that? He decided the best way is to send His Son. Let Him become man. Oh, it is so hard for us to accept this, but He didn't send Jesus to the middle class, to the wealthy, did He? He was speaking to the poor. When He spoke to the people in the Sanhedrin, and said, you know, my mission is to bring the good news to the poor. And, you know, and when He talked to John's apostle sent, you know, saying, are you the one, or are we looking for somebody else? And He said, go tell them what you see. And He ended that with saying, good news is preached to the poor. That's what you're doing when you support our work. You're bringing the good news to the poor. And so be one of those where we speak to the poor, where we bring good news to the poor. Of course, it's a message for the middle class, the upper class as well. We sometimes are just not as keen to listen because we have a comfortable life. And we're like the Pharisees. We don't want to be put into any problems. You just leave me alone. Let me do my life. I'm happy. Don't be one of those. Accept God's word. Accept the fact that God can change you and change your heart and use you. It may not be what you want, but it'll be where you can be used. He will use your talents, I promise you. As we finish that, I had the scripture that Brother gave. It's from Romans 10, talking about we too. I'm going to read it again, 10, 14 to 15. How then can they call on the one in whom they have not believed? How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone to preach? And how can they preach unless you are sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So I appreciate you supporting us, myself, Ben and Issy, the people to bring the good news. Thank you for sending us. Thank you for your support. May God bless this church and bless you individually. We've got the board back there that I think Ben and Deborah did with the names of those that sponsor children. God so bless us. I am always amazed that small congregations, I have this church, I have another small church in Zenith, Missouri, two of my biggest contributors and biggest supporters. It's not some large mega church. It's this and your heart. Thank you for your heart. I ask that you remember us when you're giving. Remember the children. And that final thing I will say this. Think about the children. And I told this in class. One of the girls that's Issy's favorite, Zelfon, sixth grader, the youngest, eight people that we did the redemption study with. She was the most knowledgeable young lady there. She's helping the others find the scripture, turn to them and all, because she's been through our school since she was a baby. And we, amen. So I pray that remember that as you give, remember that. And I'm sure now we have, what, elders available to speak, or if you have a need to come down to Brother Tim as we sing this song. You have a song?